Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Well, for the first time after 9 long years of waiting, Harry Potter fans will get a new book in the Boy Wizard series to hold in our sweaty little palms this weekend. This Saturday, as the clock strikes midnight, the 8th installment of the Harry Potter saga will roll out with much fanfare, including midnight book parties at area stores. It's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and it's a play written by J.K. Rowling, playwright Jack Thorne, and theater director John Tiffany. Local Harry Potter fans had another reason to celebrate when Rowling released a story set in Massachusetts this summer on her fan website, Pottermore.com, and along with it, this promotional video.
High atop Mount Greylock, hidden by forest, cloud, and spell, stands one of the greatest secrets of the magical world, Ilvermorny School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
That's right, folks, our very own Hogwarts in the Berkshires. Local politicians had a lot of fun with the news. Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeted, "Looking for a defense against the dark arts, Professor J.K. Rowling? Where do I apply? Donald Trump and Death Eaters. I got this." After learning that Ilvermorny, the fictitious American School of Wizardry, was in Massachusetts, Governor Charlie Baker told the Boston Globe that small businesses are the backbone of the economy, whether owned by witches or mortals. So to tell us more about the real-life historical influences on J.K. Rowling's story set here in our state is chairman of the Religion Department at Williams College in Williamstown, Mass., Jason Ananda Josephson, who also teaches courses on the history of magic. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jason.
Hello there. Glad to be here.
So Williams is just 10 miles from Mount Greylock, the highest peak in Massachusetts where J.K. Rowling set her mythical school of American magic. Why do you think she set it there?
Well, my guess is that J.K. Rowling's probably picked Mount Greylock just based on it being the highest peak in Massachusetts and it's remote. But whether by research or just sheer chance, she hit on a spot that has a lot of rich associations. There's a lot of local folk tales about the area, stories about a wizard's glen in nearby Pittsfield, famous Bigfoot sightings around the Williamstown Pownal border, and Pownal, Vermont even had its own witchcraft trial in 1767. In specific to Mount Greylock, the main thing that it's famous for in local folklore is it has a famous ghost, and it's also been a literary inspiration for thinkers from writers from Thoreau to Herman Melville. And the only source that I think probably J.K. Rowling has probably read, it might be Nathaniel Hawthorne, who came to the area in 1838 and wrote a story called Ethan Brand, set on Mount Greylock, in which Hawthorne's protagonist makes a deal with the devil.
Ooh,
on
okay,
that peak.
That's
so it's, you know, a little association
yes.
with magic and
all
that
right.
particular mountain.
Well, apparently a lot of the magical creatures in the tale are based on Native American folk traditions. Tell us a little about them.
Yeah, so I'm not primarily a specialist in Native cultures, but what Rowling has done is in replacing the four houses of Hogwarts, she's come up with four American analogs, which she's drawn each from a different Native tradition, which is a little bit eclectic. So she's drawn the Pukwudgie, which we would associate with the Wampanoag peoples, and then the Thunderbird, which is mostly Northwest Plains Indians, and then something called the Wampus Cat, which is associated by Cherokee myths, although it may really just be rural folklore in the Appalachians, and then the horned serpent, which you find references to all over. So very eclectic. She's drawn from a bunch of different Native traditions to come up with her new houses.
Okay. Well, there's no overt reference to the Salem witch trials, but do you think that that influenced the story, or were there other historical references to Massachusetts that jump out at you?
I think she on a different blog post in her History of American Magic, she does reference the Salem witch trials. And I think that's a big point of reference for her. I don't think her knowledge of the history of American magic is terribly deep. Her character comes out to part of Western Massachusetts that was basically unsettled at a time when there was really nothing out here or what have you. But I think she is influenced by the famous Salem trials of 1792 and 1793. And I think that's her reason for setting it in Massachusetts in particular. Yeah,
I think
that's right.
Well, you yourself are a Potter fan. You referred to yourself as the Severus Snape of Williams College, although I assume you're not mixing potions defending against the dark arts from Amherst College, your big rival. But why, briefly, in the time we have left, do you think the stories have such a grip on our collective imagination? Why do we want to believe in magic?
Yeah, I mean, I think each generation has had its own kind of fantasy novels, from Tolkien to Ursula Le Guin of our parents' generation. I think that there is a desire on the part of many people to not live in a world that is merely mechanistic, where it is all the interplay of atoms and the void. And I think that draws people to stories in which they can imagine spirits, or in which they believe that there is something that is more human or personable that they can relate to. And I think Harry Potter tapped into that. J.K. Rowling did a great job of imagining a veil between a mundane world and a magical world. And it's
all right,
a good
well,
story.
We'll have to leave it there, but yeah, I can't wait. We'll both be reading it. Jason Ananda Josephson, Chair of the Department of Religion at Williams College, and he has a new book on magic coming out. Thanks for joining us. We'll go out on a song from the Norwood, Massachusetts wizard rock band, Harry and the Potters. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR Boston NPR News Station. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.